Well, today being July the 9th, 2023, we're going to begin our second part on this lesson I tried to start last week. It's entitled, Hear Ye, Hear Ye, Hear Ye, from the book of Amos. And we are looking at Amos chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. And last week we talked about Amos giving the revelation of the coming judgment upon Israel, upon Judah, for their resistance, for their rebellion against God, for all the things that they had done against God. And I want to remind you here today, listen to me, these things that we see, that we're reading about in these lessons in Amos, in Israel's day, folks, we're seeing the same attitude of people's hearts in our land today. And I just want to encourage you, pray for America, amen? Pray for the leadership of our country. You know what would help them most? A good old dose of salvation, amen, would help them most. And that's what they need today. We need to pray for our nation. We looked last week as Amos talked about the coming judgment there in Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And then we looked at it, and we got down to his proclamation of the coming judgment in verses 9 through 15. I want us to look at this today. He spoke as God moved him to do this. And I praise the Lord that Amos was a man of God that was not willing to compromise. He was not willing to sit back and say, you know what, I know this is what God said do, but I can't do this. I can't do it. Amos was a bold messenger for God. He was bold. Now you got to remember, last week we looked at this, and we're going to look at it this Sunday. Amos was a businessman, okay? He had his own business, but God called him to do a job for him. And Amos chose to do God's business even above his own business. And I want you to understand something today. You can be a businessman. You can be a workman. You can be a just a regular person and still be used greatly of God. It's a matter of heart. And it's a matter of our willingness to do what God said do. So I just want to encourage you with it today. Amen. I just want to encourage you with that today. And with that, let me take a time out in just a minute. Is that Brother Sean back there? Brother, good to see you today. Amen. Good to have you back. Amen. Yeah, appreciate you doing that. That was in celebration of you coming back today. Amen. All right. Amen. That's great. And Mercy, I just see Mercy coming in back in the back there too. So good to see you, sweetheart. Thank you for getting to be here today. All right, time back in. All right, I appreciate you being here. All right, let's look at it today. Amos chapter number 3. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 15. Next week, Lord willing, we will begin our lessons in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. That will be the next Old Testament prophet that we look at. And we're going to be looking at these lessons, but they've all got similar messages to the people. And I want you to see this today. Amos today makes a proclamation of coming judgment to God's people. And you need to remember, these were God's people, but they had turned their back on God. They had turned their faces away from God. They had turned in stubborn rebellion toward God, and everything that God tried to do to warn them and tell them, listen, you're going to get judged for this, you're going to be punished for this, they just disregarded it. They turned it away. And now God has got to, he has to keep his word. And so he uses Amos here, and he tells them, beginning in verse number 9, he says, Amos, he said, publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord. Can you imagine that verdict being placed upon you? They know not to do right. Is that not what we're living in today? Folks have gotten to the point that they have rebelled against God. We've got a generation, a second generation now coming along. You know, the first generations knew God. Second generation knew about God, but this generation is coming up today. It seems like they know not God. They don't know anything about Him. And they know not to do right, saith the Lord. Look what He said. They store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye, and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. God here is inviting, through Amos, God is inviting the surrounding cities, those that did not worship God, the surrounding nations that were all around supposedly godly Israel. Israel was to be God's messenger to the nations around them. But they failed to do it, folks. They failed to do the job that they were supposed to do for God. They had broken the heart of God. And now God invites all those surrounding nations that hated the Lord God, those folks that had idol worship and baby killings and everything else. They offered their babies to the fire gods and all these other things. They did wicked things in the eyes of God. He invites them now to come and see what happens to God's people when they continue to rebel and disobey God. And he's showing them that if this is what's going to happen to my people, you better get your hearts right, because your punishment is going to be even worse. Now you think about that today. Judgment must begin in the house of God. And folks, much of what is happening in our world today is because the house of God has not been the light that it ought to be for God. I saw on the news the other day, I saw this commercial that came up about, it was from some law association, where they are now having lawsuits filed against the Catholic Church. And they're going back as far as 80 years. 80 years. For 80 years, they said, the Catholic Church, the priests and things like that, had been molesting children and doing all kinds of bad things. And now this law company, I don't even know the name of it, is filing lawsuits against the Catholic Church. Now, number one, let me say this. We are not part of the Catholic Church. Amen. We are not even Protestants. Okay? We're not even Protestants. Protestants came out of the Catholic Church. The Lutherans, the Presbyterians, and all these other, the Methodists, all these other folks, they came out from that mess. We were never a part of that mess. Okay? And as God is bringing judgment on them for doing those wrong things, and they rightly should, that judgment should be brought against them for doing wrong. If you do wrong, you ought to have to sing the song. I mean, that's just the way it is. But folks, listen to me today. People are looking at folks who call themselves religious, quote unquote, folks that are supposed to be different from the world. They look at us in a different manner. We're supposed to be different. I never will forget witnessing to a man one time. He did not want to get saved. And he said, if I get saved, then I have to quit cussing. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit smoking. And he named a bunch of other stuff. He said, because Christians don't do that. And I thought to myself, boy, I wish a lot of Christians could hear that. A lot of folks that name the name of Christ, and they still do things like that. Listen, it's sad to say this, but the lost world around us today oftentimes has higher convictions for those who call themselves Christians than those who call themselves Christians have. And we are seeing things today in our world that just, I never would have thought it would ever happen in places that are called churches, okay? Most of them today are social clubs with steeples on top. And most of them today, they've even taken the steeple down. They've taken it away. They'd only be identified outside. But folks, I want you to understand something. God is holding us accountable. And God will hold this generation of born-again believers responsible for this generation of lost people. And that's why we've got to win them while we can. Our job is to win people to Christ. Our job is not to build a church. That's not our job. That's why so many of these churches, they are falling by the wayside. They're trying to do what only God's Word says that God can do. Jesus said, we're to go out and take the gospel to every nation. We're to teach them, to preach to them what the gospel is. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our job is not to build a church. It's like Pastor says so oftentimes, if we will tell folks how to get to heaven, then God will tell folks how to get to our church. And God does that. Amen? These people, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel had turned their backs on God. And now judgment was coming down upon them. And God now invites those folks around them. They were supposed to have been witnessed to. They were supposed to have been shown that God, the holy God of Israel, is the God, the holy God, the only God to be worshiping. And they had not done that. So God is about to show his own people how that they had so sinned against God and how that they had done so much evil. They were basically left as reprobates that did not know the difference between right and wrong. And the men of God, if you'll read in Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of these other places, the preachers, the priests, okay, the pastors were supposed to teach their people the difference between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. And those men had become so saturated in sin themselves that they could not tell the difference between the two. Folks, that's a sad day when that happens. And look what Amos declares here in verse 10. He said, for they know not to do right, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. And now we read here in verse 11. Look what the Bible said. Therefore, because of all this, therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land. And he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Folks, listen to me today. God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And he was not going to let his people get away with doing wrong. Folks, listen to me today. Live right. Live for Jesus. Live for the Lord. Let folks know that what you say with your lips is real in your heart. Amen? Don't just be a lip sync person that doesn't know what they're talking about. Live for God from the heart. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 tells us that only a small remnant would even survive. They would even survive. And those that did not, that did would not be very stable. They're not going to be very stable when God got done with them. And folks, it's sad. You can go back, and I want you to mark this passage out. I don't have time to read this passage. But if you'll go back to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter number 17, and read verses 1 through 23. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 23. You're going to read about this. But now we come from listening to this sad proclamation that God tells Amos to give to his people. We now come to chapter 4 of the book of Amos. And Amos here, God has Amos give the reasons for the coming judgment. God was not doing this just to pass the time. God was not doing this because somebody offended him or said something against him. But he now lists the reasons that this judgment was coming. And I want you to see where he starts first. He starts in Amos chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, with the affluent women who were exploiting the poor. The affluent women who are exploiting the poor. There's my wife. Raise your cane there, sweetheart. She's now legal to raise cane in my house, okay? All right. Pray for her. She's going to the surgeon this week, find out what they're going to do with her knee. And they may drain some fluid off of it. I'm hoping maybe just draining the fluid off of it would do it, and she won't have to have surgery. But just pray for her this week, okay? I'll be glad to get rid of that cane in the house. Amen? All right. Look at it with me now today. Amos chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Amos once again declares, he says, hear this word. He tells the people, listen to what God is telling you. Stop what you're doing. Listen. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, not the beaches, at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. And ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Now I want you to notice something here. In these verses, God has Amos refer to these rich women who used people for their exploits. He referred to them who were living in great luxury at the expense of the poor people around them, the people that had needs in their lives and no one was taking care of them. He referred to these rich women as kind. K-I-N-E, not K-I-N-D as in dog, okay? Kind, K-I-N-E. Do you know what a kind is? It's a cow, an old fat cow. That's what it is. He was referring to those women as female cows that just abundantly grazed, okay, in the lush hillsides of Bashan. He referred to them not in a kind way, okay? This was not kind of God to do this. But he was telling them exactly what he thought. And it should be of interest to us that God would also use this female name, kind, okay, equally as to brand the luxury and effeminacy of the rich men. He referred to them the same way. Effeminate. Sissy. Okay? The women ruled the house. There was no man that would stand up and do what he was supposed to do. And folks, we're in a sad situation in our world today when leaders won't be leaders. You know what? When we got married, okay, each of us, couples, when we got married, men, face it, God made you the head of your home, the spiritual head of your home. You say, but I don't want to be. Too late. You're it. Tag, you're it. And let me say this, God is holding you responsible for your home and for your family. Listen, it is not the place of the woman to be the head of the home. Read it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. As Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is to be the head of the household. He's to be the head of the home. Listen, women, ladies, females, you are the completer that God has given to that man. You are the one to be the help to him, the support to him. And ladies, let me say this to you just a minute, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I'm behind the pulpit back here, so there's no bulletproof anything up here, but I'm just going to say it. You are either the completer of your husband or you are his finisher. You either complete him or you finish him. And ladies, your job in the home, in the marriage, is very important. You are that one that supports him, encourages him, strengthens him. It's often been said that the husband is the head of the house, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. And that is true, okay? So guys, get your neck brace and keep straight. Do what is right in the eyes of God. Listen, when a husband and a wife serve the Lord in a marriage, in their home, they serve as one, as one. And you know what? I know this all the way back from the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 5, when Moses wrote in here, God described creation. He gave a summary. And when God created the man and the woman, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 5 that God called them Adam. He called them Adam. God saw them as one. And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. These men had become rich and powerful, and they were used to just living lavishly. The women also began to live as lush cows out in the field, just sitting in the shade, chewing the cud, and enjoying life. They enjoyed luxury, but they enjoyed it at the expense of others. And the Bible said here, as Amos is describing this, he said, because of this, this name was probably given as an intention to shame them, to bring shame upon them. Nobody wants to be called a cow. I mean, nobody wants to be called a cow. Nobody. And God did this to shame them, to get them to seeing things the way God was seeing them. And folks, listen to me. God doesn't want us to be lazy Christians. You know what? This prosperity preaching and everything that's on TV today. You know, you send me $100 and God will bless you with more, and God wants you to be prosperous and healthy and all that good stuff. Listen, God didn't save us just to be prosperous. Now, God may have blessed you. He may have given you a house. And I'm going to say something right now. God has blessed most of us here today in such a way that it would put the rest of the world to shame. To shame. Because God has been good to this nation. But we don't need to take that blessing for granted. And these people had taken God's blessings for granted. They enjoyed a time of luxury, prosperity in these kingdoms. And they lived in great palaces. They built houses to glorify themselves. And they exploited the poor people. They put off these ladies had put off the tender, loving care that only women can share. Listen, there is nothing like the care and the love of a woman for her children, for her family, for those folks around them. Us men, we get mad. And my wife is always trying to calm me down now. Remember, God's watching you. Yeah, I know. Thank you. She kind of keeps me tender sometimes, all right? But listen, these folks had left that. They had put off the tenderness of womanhood. by oppressing those that were lesser in value in their eyes than what they felt themselves to be. And Amos just called them what they were. He called them kinds. But notice here also, it wasn't just for their wickedness in those things that they were doing, but also it was because, look at number B, the people worshiped God in hypocrisy. They worshiped God in hypocrisy. They said with their lips, "We love God," but in their worship, they worshiped false gods. They worshiped the things of this world. Look at verses 4 and 5. He invites them. He says, "Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O children of Israel, saith the Lord God." He said, in other words, when you come and your hypocritical way of worship, bring your offerings and bring all that money you said you've been saving up for the 3 years and you're going to give it to God, and you're really just doing it as a show. You come once in a while, and you just make a big show of what you're doing. It's not from your heart. Folks, listen. The Bible said God loveth a cheerful giver. And we are to give back unto God as God hath prospered us. And you know what folks do today? They put on a show. And they'll give this or give that just to be seen or to be heard about. Listen, that's not the way we're to give unto God. And when these folks offered their sacrifices of thanksgiving unto God, it was supposed to be without leaven, without sin. Leaven represented sin. And they were to offer it without sin. God had Amos to tell these people that since they loved making a big scene and they supposedly offered their sacrifices to God, to the God that had been so good to them, they supposedly offered them and brought them to Bethel and Gilgal. But there in Bethel and Gilgal, they had turned those places of worship to God unto places of worship to false gods, idols. They had put up places, altars. They offered things to false pagan gods. The place of blessing had now become a place of curse unto God. Folks, when the house of God becomes a house of pagan worship, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I watched a service the other week. Somebody invited me to visit their church, and I said, "Well, I don't think I can go there. I couldn't do it." But I pulled up their website, and I watched one of the services on there. And it was sad. And folks, listen to me. This style of worship that they're worshiping now only promotes man. It promotes the glory of man. And the Bible that they read from, I don't even know if it was a Bible. I don't know. He said he was quoting verses. But I couldn't find it. It wasn't like that in my Bible. And folks, listen to me today. Folks have gotten to the point now, they want to please everybody around them. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to stand for truth. They don't want to stand for righteousness. They just want to, as I see on the bumper stickers, coexist. Coexist. Let's just all live in harmony with one another. I can't live in harmony with the devil. If you're a born-again child of God, you can't either. And folks, when you are living for God, guess what? You're going to butt heads with the devil because you're going in two different directions. And if you're not going in two different directions, you're in trouble. These folks had turned away from God. All their traditions and their sacrifices. I met a man yesterday. My wife had a little showing of her craft work and everything down at the Ag Center. And I was giving out gospel tracts at the same time. I gave some to some folks. The man said, "Oh, your wife does Bible verses in her pictures and things like that." I said, "All the time." He said, "Really? Where do you go to church at?" And I tried to give him a gospel tract. And I said, "This is where I go to church, Church of the Open Door, a little independent Baptist church up here that just loves to tell folks about Jesus." And he said, "No, you just keep that." And he told me where he went to church. And when he told me where he went to church, I said, "Yeah, I understand why you don't want that now. I understand." And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but they have rejected what God says to you. And they've said, "No, we don't want to do this. We're not going to have a church like that." And folks, they worshiped in hypocrisy unto God. Look at what the next verse said. The nation as a whole, verses 6 through 13, they refused to repent of their sin. How many of you have ever had a stubborn child? I've had some. I've had two, okay? They can be stubborn. And you know what? Stubbornness can be a good thing. It can be a good thing if it's focused in the right direction. But if it's focused in the wrong direction, boy, it can be detrimental to someone. These folks should have been stubborn against those wicked nations around them and said, "No, we're not listening to you." And they would look at them and say, "Oh, you're just narrow-minded." "Yes, I am. You're just stubborn." "Yes, I am." That would have been a good way of being stubborn. But what they had done, they saw the things of the world, and it appealed to the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All those things that the devil offered to Eve there in the Garden of Eden, he's still offering it to people today. And they had become stubborn against God, and they had turned away from God. Look what verses 6 through 13 says. Because of their sin, Amos now reminds them here. He said, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city." Boy, does that not sound like what we're looking at today? Well, who was it that was telling me this morning, one of the cities around us had dumped out their rain gauges, a 5-inch rain gauge, twice in the last week. Yeah, somebody was telling me. And we've got hardly anything up in this area. And some other areas the same way. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, is that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Even as God sent them warning time and time again through famine and pestilence and disease and fires that burned all that they had, they still refused to listen or to repent of their sin. But as God promised in the years past, judgment was coming. 5 times Amos makes mention of this in these verses. And finally, God has Amos tell him in verses 12 and 13. He said, "Amos, tell them, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. The people had forgotten who God was. Now look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, here God instructs Amos. He instructs the people to hear about their need for repentance. They need to hear their need of repentance. People today are saying, you don't need to preach about hell. These new Bibles today, this new ESV that has come out, has taken the word hell totally out of it. There are publishing companies right now that used to print gospel tracts warning people about hell. And now they've stopped publishing those gospel tracts. Why? Because they're using these new versions of the Bible that don't mention hell. Therefore, they've got no biblical grounds to speak about hell at all. Folks need to understand, they need to hear the reason for their repentance. Judgment is coming for sin. Look at it. They needed to repent because judgment was coming. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, he says again, hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Amos was crying as he told them what was happening. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There's none to raise her up. And in verse 3, he told them, for thus saith the Lord, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave an hundred, only a remnant. And that which went forth by an hundred shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. What sad news for such a great nation as Israel to have to suffer because of unconfessed sin and because they refuse to repent of their sin. But why should they repent? Look at verses 4 through 15. Number one, they needed to do it because God desired for them to repent. Look at what he said. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. Folks today are seeking religion. They're seeking churchology and redemption. Repentance is not in those things. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what folks need to hear today. They need to hear the gospel. Never forget what God said over in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11. Make a note of this verse. I'll read it to you. Ezekiel was instructed, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? God wanted these people to repent of their sin. God wanted them to turn from their wicked ways, and yet they refused to do it. And then in chapters 5 and the rest of chapter 6, he pronounces the different woes upon them. The woe to those who worship in hypocrisy. Chapter 5, verses 18 through 27. And then woe to them that lived in excess. Chapter 6. They lived at ease in Zion. Look what he said, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. And he goes in there talking to them about being at ease in Zion. You know what's happened? The church had left its first love. Israel left its first love. And our churches today have left their first love. They love the praise of men. They want to be known for having a big house. But they failed to do what God said do. And that was to reach the nations around them with the gospel. Folks, hear ye. Hear ye. Hear ye what thus saith the Lord. And trust God today. Turn unto Him and serve Him with your heart. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today. There's so much, Lord, that I just could not get into the lesson today. But Father, I pray that your people would take time today to read the Word of God and to study it and to see what thus saith the Lord. Lord, help us, God, today to repent of any sin that may be causing us not to be the witness for you that we ought to be. And God, help us, Lord, to remember the job that you've given unto us, and that is to reach our lost world with the gospel before it's eternally too late. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach today. I pray, God, you'll bless the Vacation Bible School and Teen Revivals tonight. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being here today.